Good evening, everyone. For WRCO News, I'm Todd Coppernoll. As the discussion and debate surrounding the proposed 765 kilovolt power line project continues, several elected officials have issued statements regarding the proposed project, including Congressman Derek Van Orden. In a recent letter, Mr. Van Orden states, "I'm writing in strong opposition to the current proposed routes for the BECI 765 kilovolt transmission line and urge Mid-Continent Grid Solutions to listen to my constituents, who are the landowners, farmers, and communities that will be impacted by this project. I have heard directly from my constituents about the significant impacts of the proposed line. They feel like they are being pushed around by your company. This is something I will not stand for. The transmission corridor would impose substantial burdens on them with easements, restrictions on future development, impacts on agricultural operation, property value changes, and environmental changes. The proposed BECI 765 kilovolt transmission line would be going through the geographically unique landscape of the Driftless Area, the only Paleozoic plateau region in the continental United States, where we are dependent on agriculture and tourism for our economic vitality. I am additionally concerned that there have not been sufficient studies conducted focusing on the potential negative impact on our groundwater due to the construction techniques being proposed. This is completely unacceptable. I am asking that Mid-Continent Grid Solutions review alternative routes, cost options, and construction methods that can utilize existing utility, highway, railroad corridors before impacting any virgin lands in the Driftless. Thank you for your attention to this important matter and your full and fair consideration of this request within applicable laws and regulations. If I can provide you with any additional information, please contact my office. Sincerely, Derek Van Orden, Member of Congress." And just this morning, a joint letter from State Senator Sarah Kieski and State Representatives Karen DeSanto, Tony Kurtz, and Maureen McCarville. Their letter states, "We are writing to express our concern and opposition to Mid-Continent Grid Solutions' plan to file their Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity with the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin for the BECI 765 kilovolt transmission line project in early 2027. We would respectfully ask MGS on behalf of the concerned constituents of Wisconsin Senate District 14, Assembly District 40, Assembly District 41, and Assembly District 42, who own or live near the land where the proposed line is sited, that MGS postpones their filing with the PSC until after a third round of open house meetings in the spring of 2027. Over the past month, our offices have documented hundreds of constituent contacts regarding the proposed BECI transmission line. In addition, we have spoken in person to hundreds more people out in our communities with valid and varied concerns about this project. A repeated theme from these conversations is people feel utterly blindsided and overwhelmed by the idea of this project, the scope of the proposed build, and the speed at which this process is moving. Specifically, our constituents feel the timeline for the BECI transmission line is too rushed, given the tremendous impact it would have on their lives, properties, livelihoods, and communities. Unfortunately, MGS only informed potentially impacted property owners very recently, and the vast majority feel the feedback period is simply not enough time for them to learn about the scope and complexities of this project, identify the entities involved, understand where the route will go and how it might impact them, figure out the project timeline, get their questions answered about why this may be needed, make property-specific requests, and develop and share thoughtful feedback. As such, we strongly support our constituents' demand for more time to offer MGS their public feedback prior to their CPCN submission. As the state senator for Senate District 14 and the assembly representatives for Assembly District 40, Assembly District 41, and Assembly District 42, we were elected to uplift our constituents' voices and advocate on their behalf. As such, we would ask that MGS fulfill their stated goal to be a good neighbor and provide a feedback window of time, until at least May 2027. During that time, we would encourage MGS to do more to reach out to affected communities, share information, listen to people's perspectives, and see firsthand how this would impact our constituents. Thank you for your time and thoughtful consideration of this request. Please do not hesitate to reach out to our offices with any questions you may have. And in a related story, police have been called to investigate after employees of Dairyland Power Cooperative were targeted with lethal threats and online intimidation regarding a proposed regional transmission project. The cooperative's executive team has announced Dairyland Power, which serves approximately 800,000 residents across rural Midwest communities, is co-developing the Maribel Transmission Project. The project is part of a larger regional effort by the Mid-Continent Independent System Operator, or MISO, to modernize the region's aging electric infrastructure. While acknowledging that large infrastructure initiatives often draw public opposition and passionate debate, Dairyland executives reported a dangerous escalation in recent weeks. According to the cooperative, there's been a significant increase in malicious social media activity, including the doxing of employees by sharing their personal details online, endangering them, their families, and their neighbors. The situation escalated further when Maribel team members were recently threatened with lethal violence, prompting law enforcement involvement. In a formal statement, the Dairyland executive team declared that its highest priority is employee safety and that violent threats and intimidation will not be tolerated. Executives emphasized that their teammates work under challenging conditions where safety is already critical and they should not have to fear for their lives while performing their jobs, while stressing that they respect different opinions and the right of landowners and communities to oppose the project. The executive team appealed for cooler heads to prevail, stating that differences of opinion should not become dangerous. The cooperative reiterated its commitment to open and honest public engagement, but maintained that the safety of its colleagues, families, and the public remains paramount. The Richland County Executive and Finance Standing Committee will convene Thursday, September 10th at 5 p.m. in the Richland County Boardroom of the Courthouse in Richland Center. For individuals unable to attend in person, virtual attendance options are accessible through the committee's page on the county's administration website. The agenda highlights several key business items, most notably the discussion and possible action regarding the 2027 draft budget. Staffing adjustments are also on the table as the committee reviews a resolution to approve grade changes. In addition to these open session items, the committee will hold a closed session to deliberate on sensitive issues. These deliberations will cover the county's strategy and position regarding both current and potential contracts for providing emergency medical services to certain municipalities. This session will also address threatened or potential litigation related to the county's current EMS delivery plan. Any necessary actions arising from this closed session will be taken after returning to open session. A Waukesha County Circuit Court has ruled that fire protection fees imposed by the villages of Pewaukee and Dousman are unlawful property taxes, striking them down in a decision celebrated by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. The lawsuit, filed in 2024 by the WMC Litigation Center on behalf of WMC, two local businesses, and a taxpayer, challenged the fees on the grounds that they were structured as annual village-wide assessments. Under Wisconsin state law, such charges must be imposed as per-call fees rather than broad annual assessments. The plaintiffs argued that the villages were using these fees as an illegal tax on residents and business owners. The court agreed with the plaintiffs' arguments and struck down the assessments. Scott Manley, WMC Executive Vice President of Government Relations, commended the ruling, noting that it delivers a much-needed win for taxpayers in a state that currently experiences the eighth highest property taxes in the nation. Manley stated that the case was about protecting taxpayers from unlawful taxation schemes and sent a clear message that local governments must follow state law when seeking additional revenue. Mark your calendars for Saturday, October 24th, as the Simons Recreation Complex hosts the second annual Pumpkin Fest Run and Walk. The morning's activities kick off at 9 a.m., offering a wonderful opportunity for community members of all ages and fitness levels to come together, enjoy the autumn season, and get active. Participants can choose from several exciting events, including chip-timed 5K and 10K runs for those seeking a competitive challenge, or a scenic 1.5-mile walk. Runners will compete for top medals, while walkers are encouraged to show off their creativity in costume, with special prizes awarded to those sporting the best festive attire. Additionally, everyone who registers and pays by October 9th is guaranteed a commemorative long-sleeve t-shirt. For those who register after early registration ends, shirts will be available only on a first-come, first-served basis, so early signups are highly recommended. The Pumpkin Fest Fun continues all weekend long with a variety of engaging events highlighted by free admission to the Simons Recreation Complex. To secure your spot and guarantee your t-shirt, visit simonsrec.com to register today. In a major consumer protection victory, the Wisconsin Department of Justice and the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection have secured a landmark $48 million judgment against Cudahy-based Midwest Auto Recycling, LLC, its subsidiaries, and its owner, Alfred Taliansky. The judgment, handed down by a Milwaukee Circuit Court judge, follows a November 2025 jury verdict that found the defendants liable for widespread and systemic misrepresentations regarding the mileage, quality, and origin of used auto parts they sold online. The massive financial judgment includes more than $1.2 million in restitution designated for 472 affected consumers, over $400,000 to reimburse the state for investigation and prosecution costs, and more than $47 million in forfeitures and surcharges. Evidence presented at trial revealed that the fraud was staggering in scale, involving 9.3 million sales quotes where the defendants misrepresented vehicle mileage. On average, the used auto parts sold actually had over 88,000 miles more than what was represented to the consumers. Furthermore, the defendants operated 10 different websites where they falsely claimed to hold the largest nationwide inventory, falsely claimed that all engines and transmissions were thoroughly tested, inspected, and cleaned, and falsely claimed to operate out of Kansas, Oklahoma, and Missouri. In reality, the business operated solely out of Cudahy, Wisconsin, maintained an extremely small inventory, and did not routinely test or certify its parts. We've got two new winners to announce in the St. Anthony's Auction Raffle. These are $50 winners. Today's winners on ticket 11, Joanne Novak, and on ticket 514, Shelly Thompson. Congratulations to both winners. Vital statistics right after this.